Coming up on TMS, Brian returns from Hotlanta with tales to tell.
And Scott decides to quiz me about it.
Utah man hanging from a cliff for hours.
Utah man. Men are getting taller every year.
David Frost dies.
Aw. Hayao Miyazaki retires at 72.
Eric's app review.
Major spoilers.
Your emails and more on this edition and whatever episode of The Morning Stream.
Oh, brother. Just what I need. A sore throat.
Why don't you stay home, honey?
Can't. Gotta be on the job today.
He needs first aid. First aid for the pain of minor sore throat due to colds. So he takes Spectracin T from Squibb. Spectracin T gives first aid for sore throat. Look, take a pleasant-tasting Spectracin T lozenge and you get first aid. Local anesthetic first aid that quickly eases nagging sore throat pain.
That's good, hold it! I'll be right over!
Sore throat due to colds. Get Spectracin T at your drugstore for first aid for sore throat pain.
I've had worse things in my mouth. The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream. No dicks here. Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to The Morning Stream. Labor Day edition. This is when most people don't do shows. Just want you guys to remember this. Write this day down is the day that we offered up a little bit of a sacrifice.
Other shows may be taking the day off,
but
not us.
Lazy slacker ass.
Exactly.
Just kidding. I'm not trying to kick up any podcast controversy here.
You know who takes the day off?
Who does that?
Adam freaking Curry.
Of course he freaking does. Does he?
Sleep in.
I want him to sing everything like that. You know, let's just remind ourselves what we're talking about.
The Morning Stream.
I'm going to sleep in. I'm going to have pancakes with blueberries in them. I just, you know, speaking of him, what's going on with MC Hammer?
And what's MC Hammer doing? Hmm. You know the guy's got talent.
Oh, I know. It's amazing.
I know.
It's amazing stuff.
That's unquestionable. That's a fact.
That's right.
Scientific fact.
That's right. By the way, I'm Scott Johnson. That's Brian Ibbett, freshly back from Atlanta, Georgia. The Pearl of the South, or what do they call themselves? I don't even know.
I think that's right, right? Aren't they the Pearl of the South?
Something like that, City, or the Lost City of Atlanta? I don't know. I don't know what they are. But they are done hosting that their Dragon Con, although I guess it's still technically happening today, right? It is.
Yeah, there's still panels, although it's this is the day that people usually leave.
Yeah.
And so the place starts clearing out and you can get around, you can get through places. There's yeah, I mean, there are these walkways that connect the three major hotels. So you get the Hilton, you get the Marriott, and you get the Hyatt.
Yeah.
And there are these walkways. So you can technically get around to almost the entirety of Dragon Con and never step outside.
Oh, wow. That's nice.
Veronica was priding herself on the fact that she, from the time she set foot in the hotel for Dragon Con, she never once went outside.
Wow. See, that's how you'd want to do it in a place that literally has temperatures as bad as the Amazon.
Yes.
Like hot, sweaty.
Temperatures and humidity, yeah. I mean, you walk around and it may only be 85, 90 degrees out, but your clothes are stuck to you like you just went through a wet t-shirt contest.
Yeah, which is kind of hot also, right?
Yeah.
I mean, hot
the other
way. H-A-W-T. So I've been in Atlanta a couple of times, and both times I felt like my face was coming off. Like it was so freaking hot that we were all going to die. Everybody involved was going to die by the time we were done. So it's nice to know that it's this little complex of hotels. You could sort of just float around them and do what you got to do. But let's talk about this
Let's jump right into talking about that.
How was your experience at Dragon Con? That's not your first time to the rodeo.
It's only my third Dragon Con, though. So third time, the charm, I guess. Mm. It was good. It was a great time. I mean, a lot of Frog Pants folks were there, both producers as well as fans. We had Tom, Veronica, Len. I guess he's not really Frog Pants.
Yeah, he's good. He's
the stepbrother of Frog Pants.
Yeah,
right?
Why not? always been around, hanging around. Yeah, he's as good as in. It's fine.
It's an honorary Frog Pants.
If it's a family, it's the guy that is totally. If he comes to the door, oh, of course you can stay on the couch tonight. you know?
Exactly. Schwood, another good example of someone who's currently not on a Frog Pants show, although he hit me up hard, big time. He's like, so Brian, when are you going to put me on a Frog Pants show? When are we going to do a Frog Pants show?
All right.
That's my Schwood.
That's great. That's a really good Schwood.
Brian.
I'm going to make this pin go in my eyeball.
That's right. All right. So a lot of people talk about magic, and they've seen, you know, they're pulling a rabbit out of a hat. I'm going to do some really freaky.
See, look, and this is the other thing I want to note, everybody. So what I viewed from afar.
Yes.
From Twitter and from Facebook and from other things. Instagram, what have you. Various degrees of debaucherous behavior. The part of various Frog Pants people. So what I'm gathering from it is this really interesting thing that happened. So I noticed that the last couple of days forward of Dragon Con, people whose online presence is normally very diminutive and quiet right. are dropping more F-bombs than they've used in a year, are sending pictures of themselves with people in the most scantily of clad
I know,
people.
I think I know which picture you're referring to.
I love
to,
that.
Sure.
That photo is awesome, by the way. You and your Ruin'em photo.
Do you know who that blonde is behind my arm?
I had no idea.
That is Ashley Paramore.
Oh my gosh, you're kidding.
Who was dressed as a Playboy bunny. So this was those pictures were taken at an NSFW party that Schwood and Jury had a suite for on Saturday night.
Yeah.
And they had the Ruin'em was flowing. Plenty of Ruin'em to go around their alcoholic beverage that they've distilled, that they've
right.
created.
The thing they hid, kind of semi-hid when they were walking around Nerdtacular, kind of acting like they were afraid to pull it out.
Exactly.
But here, no, not so much.
Oh, yeah. No, not so much in Dragon Con. It was pouring from every
orifice.
Every orifice. All you had to do was hold a cup and you could just...
Wow.
Catch the Ruin'em.
Wow.
Which is really, really good, by the way. I gotta say, it is a fantastic beverage. And I'm holding Jury to the fact that he promised me a bottle. So,
all right. What can you compare it to anything? Is it?
It's like a, it's a very hearty, it's like a wine that's been doctored up with bourbon.
Yeah.
So like a very, very hearty kind of wine. You can't even really call it a wine. I mean, it's a...
Some people have said to me that it's identical to Adam Carolla's Mangria.
Oh, really?
And when I heard that, I thought, identical, really? And then I found out, I think they use the same people.
They use the same people to bottle it, yeah.
Yeah, but, that might be why.
But you go to a place and you actually pick the flavors that you want to have in there. You test it. You do some flavor testing. And so while it may be created the same way and bottled by the same people... The flavors are probably very, very different.
Interesting. Well, good for them.
You know what? That's a good scientific experiment that I'm going to have to conduct when I get my bottle of Ruin'em. I'll also get some Mangria.
Oh, yeah, compare them up.
I'll do a taste test right here on TMS.
Yeah, I like that idea. That's good. You know, they sell that Mangria here locally at a liquor store here.
Do they really? Yeah. I wonder if they sell it here at Applejack.
I think they toured out here. Corolla and Dr. Drew came out here and they did a signing there or something.
It's really funny. It's such a funny combination, those two.
Yeah, they're odd. They make me laugh. Yes. Their podcasts are doing now where it's just those two. I quite like that. I'm not really into his other stuff, but that thing's pretty good.
That's funny.
It's like the old Loveline days is what it reminds me
of. Yeah, exactly. With that. Who was the other guy? Ricky Rock or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Ricky Rackman.
Ricky Rackman. That's
from,
what it was.
From your MTV stuff, right? Wasn't he a dude at MTV?
Oh, was he?
I think he was.
Yeah, I don't know.
Ricky Rackman, heavy metal man or something.
Heavy metal man.
It was something like that. So how were the... Well, okay. I got a quiz for you.
Give me the quiz.
And by the way, feel free, throughout today's show... Something hits you from the event. You're like, oh, yeah, this thing I wanted to tell you.
Well, I will say one quick thing.
Please.
That very same NSFW party. So Ali Spagnuolo was there. Yeah. DJ, oh, my God, what was his name?
That's a terrible name. Oh, that's not his name?
That's not his name. Like DJ Smarty Pants or something like that. I can't remember what it was.
Okay.
Oh, let's see. Does it say in here?
If it's not DJ Smarty Pants, it should be.
It's not DJ Smarty Pants.
I love that
something.
Name. That's great.
Not DJ Elemental. Anyway, he was performing. We came in too late to see him perform. But Ali Spagnuolo, let me tell you about she is a little firecracker of party like she's an entire party packed into a diminutive little frame.
Yeah.
Oh, like, DJ Shy Guy. That's who it was. Yes.
Like pulling a
like she is a Roman candle of fun.
Yes. Explosive. She seemed like this tiny little sweet thing on the outside. But you poke her in the right place and boom, explode.
Absolutely. And, you know, you'll be sitting there and you're drinking and talking and whatnot. And then Funky Cold Medina randomly comes up in Jury's shuffle that he's got plugged into a speaker.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden she's leading everybody in a line dance of Funky Cold Medina. And, you know, and Brian Dunaway is out there doing, you know, the robot, or his friend Alan is doing the robot. Brian Dunaway is trying to follow along. Watching Brian Dunaway dance, then that's...
That must have been a new experience.
It's like watching a Ringo Starr sock puppet is what it is.
He kind of has a Ringo look to him these days.
He does these days, yeah.
You're totally right.
Skinny Ringo.
Yeah.
He's too skinny.
Feed that boy something next time you see him, will you?
Give me the quiz.
Here's the quiz. Dragon Con quiz. Let's have a little... gosh, there's a fly in here the size of a horse. It's starting to piss me off. All right. I want to do a little, some quiz. We're going to have quiz music.
Let's see.
We'll put in maybe a little Spanish of the flea. We got to have a quiz sound. What is it? I don't even know. It's just
and a caveman.
There you go. Here's your intro. Here we go. All right. Number one, best cosplay. And these are kind of quick fire style,
quick fire?
Right?
Okay.
Can't do 50 paragraphs of answers. Not that I don't want to hear them, but it's, you know, it's part of the
structure. Are you trying to limit me, Scott?
Just a little bit. I'm trying to hold you back. Trying to keep you back. All right. Quick Dragon Quiz Con Quiz Con. Quiz Con. Here it is. Number one, best cosplay you saw the whole time.
The one that sticks with me is Susan Storm, Invisible Girl, or Invisible Woman. Yeah. Definitely Invisible Woman.
Yeah.
In this case, she was wearing a thong.
Yeah.
And the rest of her costume was all body paint.
Wow. That is hard to forget.
She was wearing an invisible costume.
So when those people walk, I mean, they're... So that's not... Nobody in the Atlanta Police Department, the PD, can't come by and go, you're indecent exposure. You're walking around with your boobies out. They can't do that, can they?
They probably could. I mean, I don't think she wasn't in the parade, or at least I didn't see the parade, and I didn't, you know, so I don't know if she went to the parade. This was kind of a later... in the evening thing. And she's walking around, and of course the nerds are in full force with all their cameras out. Invisible woman, can I get a picture? Invisible woman, can I take a picture?
If she's just in a thong and body paint.
Yes.
Blue body paint? Is that the point?
Blue body paint with the four and the...
But why didn't she just wear like a spandex blue suit thing? Like,
because then her boobies wouldn't be out, Scott. That seems like kind of the whole point.
I gotta get my head around why people do things.
Why don't strippers wear spandex? Gosh, that's a really...
I guess. Okay, fine. Let's see. Number two, best celebrity sighting.
See, here's the sad thing. I'm trying to remember if I saw a single celebrity, and I don't think I did. So here, we have a table right across from the Walk of Fame.
Yeah.
And which is the room where they dump everybody, all the celebrities. Not this year. They changed that into an actual ballroom.
Okay.
And they moved all the celebrities over to another place. And the bummer of that is that we'd get the celebrities walking right by our table. So we'd be like, oh, there's Peter Mayhew, and oh, there's Richard Hatch.
Right.
And Richard Hatch is walking by again. Oh, look, Richard Hatch is walking by again.
Hey, Richard Hatch lives here.
We see you, Richard Hatch.
Yeah, we got it. Apollo, walk away.
We got it. So went out to dinner with Dan's Modern Life and the Tadpole and his wife Megan, lovely couple, as well as Daniel and Deidre Pitts, who I've talked about on the show before. I meet them every year at Dragon Con. Fantastic. Also fantastic people.
Yep.
And went to Trader Vic's Tiki Bar in the basement. This is the kind of stuff you want me to stay away from doing, the big long paragraph answer.
It's all right. However, we're two in. Keep going.
There's a payoff.
Okay. All right.
We go down to dinner. There's a couple seats left over. I tweet the Frog Pants producers, and Tom and Veronica come down and join us. And of course, you know, the people I'm with are just besides themselves. They get Brian, Tom, and Veronica all hanging out their table with them.
Wow.
Over at another table, we see Will Wheaton. And we're like,
Will Wheaton? Oh, I know. I heard about this.
And he's wearing the Will Wheaton shirt.
Uh-huh.
And... like, that's Will. That can't be Will Wheaton. He's at PAX. And Tom and Veronica are even going, I think that's, well, he looks just like Will Wheaton, but that couldn't be Will Wheaton. And they're both checking their Twitter feeds to see, you know, if Will said something like, oh, I'm making a quick trip down to Atlanta from PAX to,
he didn't
to
even go
to dinner
PAX.
At Trader.
He didn't even end up at PAX this year.
Oh, really?
Yeah, stayed home
like
and wrote.
Not doing any,
didn't do any of the two cons this year. I don't know what's going on over there. Some kind of, Wesley!
Get out of the
cons. Get engineering. Yeah, get out of the cons. I don't know what's going on.
But it was close enough looking Will Wheaton cosplay that that Tom and Veronica were even questioning whether or not it was really him.
That's crazy, that
is,
dude.
That is good. That is somebody who looks just like Will Wheaton. I'm sure he was getting stopped left and right. Yeah. I did see Paul and Storm. There we go.
Well, okay, there's your celebrities. Yeah, sure.
Paul and Storm. Yep.
Yeah, all right. We'll take them. That's your after all that, your best celebrity sighting. Was Paul and/or Storm? All right, I saw some great Paul of photo bombs. That guy can.
Oh really?
That guy can work with the best. He's right up there with you, dude.
Yeah,
he's right up there with you. Number three, worst food consumed.
Ooh, boy, that is a tricky one. I guess it was the shriveled up dried chicken wing that I had at. So there's a food court that you can walk across to from the hotel.
Yeah.
And I'd been spending money left and right on food and, you know, going blowing my budget and decided, you know what, I'll just go cheap.
Yeah.
And went over there and had chicken. So there's this place that says two entree chicken with fries and noodles and blah, blah, blah. And so I was like, oh, can I get chicken wings as one of my entrees? Yeah, but we're only going to give you one.
What?
Like one wing as one of my chicken entrees?
That's awesome.
But everyone's saying, oh, these Malibu wings are really good. It's like, all right, give me one wing. And, you know, I don't need to eat. I don't need to be eating tons of food anyway. And and the other entree, they loaded it up. Yeah. Like, they loaded up the other side. So it's like, all right, give me one wing.
Yeah.
This is not a very impressive wing at all. It was a very disappointing wing.
I love that they wanted to just give you the one. And they had to, like, lay out the law, like, lay down the rule.
Even other people in line are like, what?
One wing? Dude, we feel for you. All right. Then later, Brian was. All right. Let's see.
Yes,
next
right.
up, best near naked. I already did that one. Who knew this? I figured your best cosplay and your best near naked cosplay, male or female,
would be different.
Different, but apparently not.
No, you know, I'll give you the best, a couple best near naked cosplays besides Invisible Woman.
Okay.
There was a guy dressed as Tomb Raider.
Oh, gosh.
And he had the exposed midriff shirt. And this guy, obviously, this guy does the sit-ups. He does the crunches, the ab. He's the ab roller.
Oh, okay. So he is ripped then. He's ripped.
The ab carver deluxe, I think, is the current one.
Perfect.
Yes.
That's what you want.
Great. And then also saw, you know, it basically, it's the same kind of thing every year with you take a men's costume, boom, you strip out, you tear out the midriff. You do really, really short shorts with it, and all of a sudden, it's a hot chick costume.
Of course,
so
always.
Lots of hot Lokis.
Yeah.
Lots of, like, hot six Lokis. Or seven hot Lokis.
Okay.
And I'd say it's probably the second best near-naked cosplay.
All right, cool. Loki big this year. That's great.
Big Loki. Who's a comic book or video game character that's got, like, stuff written all over his body, like hash marks like you'd make in prison on the wall?
Oh, the Calendar Man guy, DC.
Calendar Man.
Yeah, there's a guy called the Calendar or something, isn't there?
Oh, really?
I think so. I think he's called the Calendar or something, but he's got all those little tick marks like how long he's been in prison all over his body.
Ironic name is saying Zaz. That might be it, like from
Zaz.
Mr. Zaz. Yeah, I think it was Mr. Zazz, Zazz. I think he was in the Arkham City video game.
Oh, could have been.
But it might have been.
That's where they put those guys.
Too.
Yeah.
Rolodex, man. Anyway, it was a great costume that I was like, oh, wow, that looks really, really well done, and I have no idea who that is.
Date and Time Man, All right.
Anyway.
Very nice.
Uh-huh.
Finally,
uh-huh.
Number five, most awkward moment. had to be a few of these, right? I mean,
there were a couple of them.
All right.
So did you see Justin Robert Young's Vine?
The one with the...
with Rappin' Hitler?
Oh, Rappin' Hitler. Oh, you know what? Not only do I have that, but I also have... Hold on here, folks. Hold on your butts. I also have this.
Hey, everybody. Have you heard the news? I'm Rappin' Hitler, and I hate to ride.
That one.
That's the one.
That's
yes, that's Rappin' Hitler.
Yeah.
So we... This happened during Night Attack 4, and it was going to be this vine. that was going to be, you know, hugely viral and stuff. And so we're walking around the next day, the day after Night Attack, and we see a guy cosplaying Hitler. Really yeah. weird thing to cosplay, right?
That is really weird.
Dressed
yeah.
up as Hitler. And we were going to try and pull him over and actually say, hey, can we Vine you doing that doing that bit? And one of the people that I was with says, Heil! Like, to get his attention.
Oh, my gosh.
And
I've been watching Hitler, a World War II documentary. This is all hitting really, really hard to the bone
here. I'm
sure
it is. Yeah. And Hitler, cosplay Hitler, looks over at us and just keeps walking. Like,
wow, really? No time for you guys.
Exactly. Like, come on. You are Hitler. You're playing Hitler. I don't know.
Oh, man. Rolling around that thing with Jury has got to be an experience.
Yes.
Gotta
be. It absolutely is.
It's got to be. It's got to be one of those things. All right. Well, good job. You've successfully navigated this quiz.
Passed the clue?
Yeah. You can stay on as co-host. You're fine. Don't worry about it. I mean, I thought about it while you were gone. I was like, man, who could I replace him with? If he doesn't know the answer to some of these questions, but here you are answering all of them properly in time. Very, yes. very impressive. All right. It is time.
Super quick fire, but it, you know.
Now, like I said, things pop into your head as we go here.
They will.
Please.
The memories will start to come back to me from the blackout that I experienced via.
That my belief is this is what this episode will be remembered as, is the Brian remembers things about Dragon Con as we go
right.
episode.
By the way, let me tell you, the Hotel Malia, so Brian Dunaway hooked me up with Hotel Malia, so I didn't have to stay in Marietta.
Yeah.
Thank goodness, because that would have been like an hour, not an hour, but probably a 30-minute, 45-minute drive to and from every day with traffic and stuff.
Yeah.
And he hooked me up with a room at the Hotel Malia, which was a few blocks away from the con, but still easily accessible.
Sure.
Can't say I recommend the Hotel Malia. Weird stains in the carpet. And the thing that I could not figure out was body hair stuck to the walls way high up on the walls.
Oh,
In the vanity area.
Okay. I don't know what that means. What does that mean?
I don't know how body hair sticks up there and where it comes from. Like if somebody's rolling around up there or what. But
should have taken one of those CSI lights with you.
I should not have.
You should have. You find out where and all the bodily fluids went and stuff.
See, I would have been curled up in one corner of the bed, the lightest blue corner of the bed.
You and Ted Danson could figure out what happened in that place. Scary, man. That's scary. I don't like any of that. I do not like. I remember a hotel in Vegas once where we tried to be cheap, and it was forever ago, and it was me and my brother-in-law. And my gosh, I don't know that I've ever been in a more frightening.
CD dive.
Oh, yeah, dude. Things that must have happened in there before I got there, and the diseases I must have walked away with.
Right. Ugh, right. Exactly.
I don't like that. All right. Well, let's call Nicole.
Okay.
For a special edition of the Trek Nerd Stumpage.
I see you called her and then ejected her.
I think that was the Skype fault. I'm not taking the blame on that one. Hey, look, everybody. It's Stump a Trek Nerd, and it's brought to you by
Loop. When going on a vacation through time, Dave winds up off course and finds himself trapped in prehistoric time. He befriends a caveman named Krong and finds out there's more to the past than we once thought. Read Loop at loopcomic.com.
Sounds good to me. Nicole, good morning.
Hey, guys.
What a weird thing this is, bringing you in.
This is so weird.
Yeah. Just think of all the naked F-bombing debauchery you missed over the weekend, Nicole.
I know. But you know what? I did get to watch a lot of it because AccuZod, James Jeffrey, who does the AIE podcast, came in and streamed almost every single session.
Yeah. He did a good job. That was great.
Oh, my gosh.
That was a great way to catch a piece of it. Some of the audio was a little bit weird, but hey, whatever. Beggars can't be choosers.
First year, we learned a lot.
Yeah, that was totally cool. So nice job, AccuZod, and keep making cool segments for the instance. All right. He hasn't done one in a while. But so let's get to it here. What we're going to do, we got celebrities sitting in for Daryl today. And that's
the Nick Nerd.
You do? Who's the celebrity?
It's you. It's TMS celebrity. Everyone knows your name on this show. So Nicole's going to try to take aim at this Star Trek question. I wouldn't say you're necessarily like a giant Star Trek nerd or anything.
No, I was going to say, I hope it's like from Next Generation, because that was really the season I...
Oh, well, you'll be very happy to hear that it is. So you have 7 seasons of Next Generation to remember and somehow get the answer to this question properly. All right, here it is. I'm going to lay it out for you. Brian,
I can use Google, right?
You totally can use Google. Because we like you. That's the only reason. Brian, I was going to say we should test something, but I don't know what to test.
What do we have?
Does he have equivalents of everything now? Like, he he has everything we have, right?
I think he has everything we have.
Well, maybe we'll wait for him then.
I have some Snyder's pretzels in front of me.
All right, you eat the Snyder's pretzels. Brian will eat whatever he's got there.
I have a chocolate that I got from the pits from Daniel and Deidre.
Oh, while you were in Atlanta. Okay.
While I was there, that
I wonder if I'm related to them.
Because you're that's right. You're natively a pit.
Well, is Pitts. It? Are you a Pitt or a Pitts? You're a Pitts, right? Yeah. Oh, yeah, maybe.
What's their full names? What's their names again? Let's put it all
Daniel,
out there on the
internet. Daniel and Deidre.
Daniel and Deidre Pitts. Mm-hmm. Sound familiar?
Pitts. Nicole Pitts is my maiden name.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, she's the Pitts.
It doesn't sound familiar, but you never know.
All right.
Well, we should do some genealogy.
Should do that. So let's get into it here. Here you go. Your next generation question is this. In the next generation of Star Trek episodes, Brothers is the episode we're talking about. A young boy named Willie Potts, it's kind of close to Pitts, is sick after eating a Cove palm plant. A Cove palm plant has made him sick. Dr. Crusher tries to cheer him up with a joke. She tells him about a man who goes to a sector and says a certain part of his body hurts. Which part of his body, which part hurts this man in the joke Skeletor is telling. We call her Skeletor. So which part of the body? A, his head. B, his arm. C, his leg. Or D, his back. As I'm saying this question and its possible answers, I'm realizing how, like, even Daryl's going to guess at this one. Like, nobody's going to know this.
Right. This is not going to be...
But before you do, so you got time to chew on this, all right? Okay. So before you do it, we're going to do this right here.
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Watch a foodie.
We're going to test... I'm not testing anything. You guys are going to test chocolate. Brian, you test your little chocolate, your Pitt's chocolate there. Mm-hmm. Nicole, you got pretzels in front of you.
Pitt's chocolate.
I'm going to eat an Altoid mint.
Oh, I do there have a piece of Old Dove milk chocolate.
Oh, hey, what? Whoa. Too fancy for our taste. Mm.
This is some Polish Prince Polo, OD 1955 Roku. That's actually specifically what it says.
Whoa.
OD 1955 Roku.
Overdosed Roku from the 50s. All right.
Right.
Got it.
And I'm
Roku
guessing
like R-O-K-U?
R-O-K-U, spelled just like the device.
Well, that makes me wonder what the origin of the word Roku is. So you keep going there. I'm going to look it up.
Okay.
Name, origin. Roku, here we go.
Can I get a derivation, please?
Let's just take a look at... Let's look at the disambiguation.
Can you use it in a sentence?
I was hanging a lot with Brian Dunaway, too. That's the other...
So let's see. Roku's audio processing. Digital player. Second generation. Yeah, I can't find anything else. Chat room, you're going to have to help me here. I can tell you that Roku, the company, they're American, they're privately held, and they're a consumer electronics company that sells home digital media products. They're based in Saratoga, California. They manufacture a variety of digital media receivers. Nice.
Yeah. Tell us something we don't know.
They also used to make a Roku sound bridge. It was a network music player that nobody gave two shites about and bought. There you go.
Roku means eight in, that's in Japanese. This is Polish.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's a Polish word?
Uh-huh.
Okay, hold on. We're going to say Polish.
It means fart.
Shut up. I wish. I wanted to. Now you ruined it for me because I really wanted it to be that. I found it. It does mean that. Oh, no, just kidding. Real quick, we're going to take a quick call from JJ. Hello, JJ.
Hey, Scott. Hey. Brian.
Hey, man. It's JJ. The TMS's original black fan. Were you or were you not in Atlanta this weekend?
He is right now.
I am right now. I'm actually driving down to Sheraton to do a panel.
I heard.
It's the Hilton, not the Sheraton.
Oh, yeah. Go to the Hilton.
Well, I put the Sheraton in as my drive point.
Oh, all right. Well, good luck to you. Hotel roulette.
Parking's cheaper at the Sheraton.
Yeah, hotel roulette. I knew you were there because I heard during one of those televised or one of the streamed panels, I heard you ask questions.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, there's JJ.
I had a quick story to tell you, though.
Okay.
If I have time.
Yeah, go ahead.
Of course. Yeah.
So we meet up real quick with, we get in on Wednesday. We meet up with Kim and Zenar on Thursday morning for breakfast. Well, at the
Oh.
What the heck?
What the hell happened?
What the crap, man? Hold on. I'm sure
he guys, you get closer to the Dragon Con
dead zone.
Improbability field.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, hello? We lost you. You there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, go for it. Keep going.
All right, so we meet at Starbucks, and it's the Starbucks where the parade is, and we're sitting there eating. This guy comes up. Dude looks like ice warm, right?
Yeah.
And he says, "Hey, I remember you from last year." And I'm like, "What?" And then I look again, and it's the hot dog vendor from last year from when we were at the parade.
He remembers you, dude?
Right. So he remembers me, and then he says, "When's your birthday?" I said, "June 23rd. He said, "Your birthday was on a Sunday." And he said, "How old are you?" I said, 38. He said, "You were born on a Monday." And I was like, "Okay."
Oh, dude. He's like Rain Man.
He's totally Rain Man in this thing. And then he looks at Renee and says, "When's your birthday?" She said, "March 15th. And he was like, "Your birthday was on a Sunday. And how old are you?" And she says how old she is and gives the date. Same deal, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
tells her what day she was born on. It was amazing.
Crazy.
Yeah, the day that she was born on, totally Rain Manning. And then all of a sudden, he just looks at her and says, "This time next year, you're going to have twin boys." And he walks out of Starbucks.
What, dude? Are you serious?
Yes, it freaked us out because you know we're going through the whole steps of IVF and everything.
Yeah. Oh my gosh!
And we were like, man, and it's funny because on the way down to Atlanta, we were trying to figure out, we have girl names, right?
Yeah.
You know, you kind of doing that, and we was like, man, but what if we have boys? And we was like, oh no, what are we going to name them? You know.
Yeah.
Renee was like, we can name them Beaver and Cleaver or something like that.
Dude, that's freaky, dude. Like, how would he know you guys were doing the whatever you call it, the fertilization thing, whatever stuff?
You said you didn't know?
No, how would he know that? Like, that's...
Yeah,
that's,
there's no way he'd know. Yeah.
There's no way, dude. And you know, with IVF, they say it's a higher chance of 30% chance to have a twin, you know, and... So it totally freaked us out. We don't believe in that, but it's still so...
No, I don't either. You know me, dude. Skeptical man McGee over here. Anytime anybody does anything that looks remotely like, you know, future telling, I go, whatever. But anytime one of these Rain Men do it, I get a little bit freaked out. Because they got no agenda. They're not taking no money for it. It's not a card game. They're just telling you shite. And they chase it with these dates that are totally accurate that nobody should know in their right mind, right?
Right.
It's amazing to me.
He's doing the Rain Man stuff beforehand,
Right.
And then you're going to follow it up with a prediction and then drop the mic and walk out. Yeah.
There are people with, like, a lot of knowledge about autism out there listening right now that are probably mad at us for referring to these people as an army of quote-unquote Rain Men. That's fascinating, dude. I hope you have twins. That'd be great.
Hopefully not boys, because Renee will be terrified.
Nah.
Kim and Xanar, I mean, they look just as dumbfounded as we did. And Nicole, I have to say, you know, you weren't there, but you know, the stuff that you did and Brian, I mean, just the whole podcasting track.
He's fantastic. Yeah. And Brian Dunaway was doing...
Your presence
was felt there, Nicole, but... But, you know, Brian to give Brian Dunaway credit, he was a machine. And he's up there, so I'm going to do a little moderating with this panel. And he, like, just leans in really close to the mic, and he's, you know.
Make sure he...
Tell us your name, tell us what you do.
But give him a sandwich. Make him eat. Get that guy saying he needs some nourishment.
He looks fantastic.
He's too skinny. It's too skinny.
I got to talk to you offline about a conversation I had with O.
Oh, yeah. Oh, was O there? I didn't know he was there this year.
Yeah. Yep, goes there. We got to hang out with him for a
bit. Yeah. Cool. I'd love to hear how he's doing. That'd be great. So, yeah, let's hook up sometime, dude.
All right, talk to y'all.
Stay out of trouble.
Have fun, Jay.
See you, JJ.
All right.
Can I tell my little story?
Of course you can.
About a Ouija board experience that I had?
Of course.
So I don't believe in that crap either.
Right.
But in college, we were just dinking around with a Ouija board. And I was like, oh, I'm going to ask it. Because I was very single in college, and I wanted a boyfriend, so I asked it, you know, what's the name of my next boyfriend going to be?
Yeah.
And it kept on spelling out Paul. I'm like, I don't know any Pauls, and it said haven't met, and I'm going, this is such crap.
Yeah.
Fast forward 3 months.
Yeah.
And I go out on a date with a guy that I meet at a party. We go out on the date, and I come back home, I take a shower, and I'm drying my hair, and I go, holy shit, his name's Paul.
It hit you later. That's
and
great.
I immediately stopped seeing him because it freaked me out so much.
I can't that's go out with you anymore.
Too soon. Yeah. Too much commitment.
It was so weird.
That's pretty weird.
Weird coincidence, I think.
I remember we pulled one of those out. I don't know. I was probably 13 or 14. And I don't remember what mumbo jumbo it told us. But I remember my friend was terrified for months about whatever it was. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't remember what it was. It was some crazy thing. And I remember thinking, it's just a board game. That's like it's like me playing Monopoly and going, I landed on Park Place. Oh, no! You know, like I couldn't understand why that would be a thing. Yeah. But whatever. I guess weird stuff happens to everybody. And that thing with JJ is freaking weird.
That is weird. Is
really and if he weird, really has twin boys, dude, we're...
I told him that if he has twin girls, he's got to go back to that hot dog vendor and says, you don't know crap.
Yeah, you don't know anything.
Yeah.
He'll just know the date you were born. Goodness That's gracious. That's
right. And the fact they had twins. And yeah.
All right. So, Nicole, back to the hard trivia Star Trek question at hand.
I love the chat room saying that I'm stalling because I'm trying to figure out the answer.
They always, trust me, the conspiracy theories that go on during Daryl's stalling are unbelievable, so this is not a shock to me.
I've forgotten the question.
I know. I'm going to restate a little bit here. Okay, so this episode's called Brothers. Little kid gets hurt. His name's Willie Potts. None of that matters.
He eats something, right?
Eats something, a cove palm plant, it's called. Dr. Crusher tries to cheer him up with a joke, tells him about a man who goes to a sector and says a certain part of his body hurts. Which was it? His head, his arm, his leg, or his back?
I'm going to say his head.
His head. All right, let's find out. Judges. Is it head? Ah, she got it incorrect. It's his arm. In the joke, he says his arm hurts when he holds it in a certain way. Here's a clip of Dr. Crusher telling this terrible joke. Don't quit your day job, Crusher. Seriously, Dade is a better comedian than you. So this is all Mike Ice. This is Iceworm talking. This is his own personal opinion. You write him emails. Okay, here you go.
How are you this morning?
Not so great. I'm having trouble standing up. I get sort of dizzy.
You heard the old story about the man who goes to his doctor? He says, Doctor, it hurts when I raise my arm like this. The doctor says, Son, don't raise your arm like that.
Oh, so...
Shite.
If I get dizzy standing up,
then don't stand up.
Oh, gosh. Why are they in a garbage maid can? What's going on with that?
It hurts when you tell jokes,
right,
Dr. Crusher.
So
don't
lady.
Tell jokes.
That's really bad.
Well, the kid's head was dizzy.
That's true. It sure was. Mm-hmm. Congratulations, Nicole. You came on. You came, you went, you conquered, and that was fantastic.
Awesome.
Thanks for standing in for Daryl. No problem. follow her on Twitter. It's Nicole Spag, everybody. The goings-on of the Spagnuolo family is worth watching, so go do that. And many other things Nicole has going on.
Yeah.
Nicole, take it easy. We'll see you on Wednesday, yeah?
Yeah, sounds good. Bye,
Yay,
guys.
Bye.
See ya.
All right. Let's how crowded would you say you felt all the time over the weekend?
Saturday was definitely the crowdiest of days. Actually, Sunday was because it started raining and a lot of people's costumes start smelling like wet dog.
Oh, gross. So they all came in and
that made it really crowded because usually you could bypass some of the crowds by walking outside from one hotel to the other.
Yeah.
But not on Sunday, not when it's raining, and not when, you know, you've got enough product in your hair to to keep it standing up for the full day.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of smelly people, but that's what you get when you hold your convention in the middle of the deep south.
That's right.
Good job. All right, what are we doing? I don't even know where we are today. Today feels like a weird show. Oh, I know what we're doing. It's the news.
And it's brought to you by the Movie Bin Podcast, because this week we did Carrie from 1976, and it was great. It can be found on iTunes or at heavylaser.com.
Sounds good. A man, Utah Connection. Yep, that's man. Right. Rescued after climbing onto a Utah quarry cliff for several hours. 23-year-old man clung to a rock cliff 200 feet in the air for 2 hours early Friday before a worker at a nearby gas station heard his cries, and he was rescued, according to authorities.
Wow.
By the way, I have a phrase I want to get rid of in the English language. You ready for this one?
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to report you. This is the whole quote. I'm going to report you to the authorities. I don't like that phrase.
You're going to report you to the authorities?
Yeah, because that's what old people say when they want to kind of sound threatening, but just say whatever the parlance of today is.
Call the cops.
I'm going to call the cops. I'm going to call the police. I'm going to call the authorities. You know, the ones in authority to exercise their authority.
For the situation.
I freaking hate that phrase so much. Anyway, the man, whose name was not released because he had not been charged with a crime, told firefighters he decided to go on a night hike about 9 p.m. Do you have to be charged with a crime to have your name released? That's weird.
Yeah, I don't think so. Unless you just, maybe the guy just said, yeah, please don't give out my name. I feel like a real doofus.
Yeah, I guess so. It just seems like something you should be able to say no matter what. Just like, hey, the guy's name was Bill and he got stuck on the thing. Anyway, this is Thursday. He was rescued uninjured from the with the help of a spotlight about 6 hours later. Ugh, man, this sounds hard. It was unclear how he got stuck on the cliff where he had his feet in a secure spot while his hands grasped rocks above. 2 hours holding the position, Brian.
Aww.
He was hanging tight. He was in a tough spot. Salt Lake City Fire Department spokesman Jason Essay said it was pretty much 200 feet straight down. Authorities believe... there it is. There's that word again. authorities believe the man started his hike on a trail but veered off onto a private property owned by Staker Parson, COS, whatever that is. President Scott Parson said the company would likely pursue a trespassing charge. Why don't you go ahead and just be dicks about it?
That's right, exactly. Don't you think the guy's been punished enough?
Come on. Let the poor guy go. You're going to charge him with trespass. I mean, aww, look, I understand private property. You got to protect what you got to protect. But after all this, just let him go.
Exactly.
Relax. That's
sad. I'm just picturing this guy just dangling, like, basically,
yeah,
you know, fingers on the side of a cliff, cartoon style, for...
Right.
You know, for 2 hours.
Like
wow.
That opening scene of Mission Impossible 2 for 2 hours straight.
Right.
Imagine
right,
that.
Right, exactly.
Don't imagine that. It's a terrible idea. And here's the funny bit. We have all these stories in Utah about people getting stuck on cliffs. The 27 hours guy or 127 mm-hmm. hours dude was
right,
here.
Right, right. Drinking their own pee and cutting off their arm to get, yeah.
Right. That's a part. There's a weekend for you. check this out. You and I are tall guys,
mm-hmm.
relatively. What are you, 6'2", 3"?
6'2", 6'3", somewhere around there, yeah.
Yeah, I'm around 6'3", 6'4", something like that. Mm-hmm. Men's average height is up 11 centimeters from the 1870s. Now,
we're
centimeters.
Bigger.
Centimeters are that weird space. That's like French space measurement. So people at home don't know what that is.
Centimetres.
Yes.
Because it's spelled T-R-E.
Indeed. Yes. Indeed.
Metres.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. let's see. 11 centimeters since the 1870s. The average height of men has risen by almost that much since the mid-19th century. This is what experts are finding. Data was collected on hundreds of thousands of men from 15 European countries. For British men, the average height at age 21 rose from 167.05 centimeters, that's 5 foot 5 inches, to as much as 5 foot 10 today. Or in 1971, I should say.
Right. I know. That's the part I noticed. Like, okay, so this is... comparing 1871 to 1875 to 1971 to 1975.
Yeah.
No mention of 2013.
Yeah, where are we now? What are we doing now? I think we've grown the other direction is what's happened.
Right, we shrunk back down.
Yeah, we've gone width instead of height. For British men, the average height at age 21, I already said that. Let's see, a public health expert said height was a useful barometer, but it... my screen just went crazy. But it was crucial to focus on improving overall health. Or health overall. The paper published in the journal Oxford Economic Papers. Oh, geez. That's a hoity-toity piece of business right there.
Economic Papers, where we also talk about science and economics.
How do you know? We'll issue papers. they looked at the data from sources including military records, modern population surveys from the 1870s to 1980 in 15 European countries. Bottom line, we're getting taller. Here's what I think that is. So my brother is Korean, straight up, full-blooded mm-hmm. Korean dude, right?
Right.
His wife, same. Met her in Korea. She barely knows English. Straight up Korean. They're both shorts. They're shorties.
Mm-hmm.
They're both shorts. They're both
shorts.
Nice. I didn't mean plural.
That's sizist.
Yeah, I'm very sizist. They're both tiny, kind of compared to everybody else in the family. Their kids are all gigantic tall. Super tall, way above average. His son is almost, he's going to be my height for sure. Like big, tall, 6 foot plus kids, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The theory is, in our family anyway, and this is based on very little other than just observation, is that their diet is entirely different than their parents would have been.
Oh, so it's the Utah food.
Yeah, it's what's making the kids American or Western food, maybe generally. Okay. Like you food in, you know, Europe and stuff is not all that different, but it's very different than Koreans or most Asian food. Hmm. And so the theory around here, again, this is based on no actual evidence. It's just what we've seen, is that the Korean kids all got tall because they like burgers and fries and food. They like food from here. They don't like their mom's and dad's weird, you know, kimchi and freaking bulgogi or whatever they're making every day. And Matt, you know, he's short, but he came when he was 10. But I think your major growth was already done. Your blueprint was printed. So he wasn't going to have much further to go.
That's interesting.
Yeah. I don't know how else to explain it.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't seem to make sense unless it just is the random luck of the draw kind of thing.
Totally could be.
Yeah.
My tall gene. My brother, Mark, my older brother, Mark, had a Japanese friend growing up whose parents, again, were very, very tiny. And this guy was like 6'8" and played basketball.
Oh, wow.
But then you look at guys like Yao Ming and, you know, what was their story? What are they eating? What are they doing?
Right. Yes.
So I don't know. It's probably all crap, but is it Yao Ming?
Yao Ming, sure. The basketball player.
Yao Ming. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. The name didn't sound right for some reason. Anyway, good stuff. Always up with the hot medical news for our listeners. Tweaked Audio would love to know, or love for you to know, that they're sponsoring this particular podcast. I was out jogging this weekend, trying to get myself in shape for the big winter. You know, things are going to start getting a little hibernate-y around here. I'm still hot, but, you know, by the end of this month, things will have cooled down. We will have some coloration to the leaves. We'll start to look like New England in the mountains. It'll start to be fall here in the beautiful Salt Lake Valley.
Aww.
And I'm interested in, you know, getting ahead of that, being out in front of it. So I'm out running. Happened to have my Tweaked Audio earbuds on me at the time. And I was listening to this song by, hold on, I'm going to find it. Here we go. Whoops. A song by Deadmau5. All right. Mm-hmm. I like the Deadmau5.
Mm-hmm. A lot of Deadmau5 cosplay out there, too, like the heads.
Oh, yeah, the mouse heads, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And it's this song called I Remember. Check this out, just a little bit of it. It's just kind of grooving, right? Skip ahead a little bit.
Yeah.
There's a lady in it. There we go. Here's the lady. Anyway, I have that thing.
Love that kind of stuff.
Just trancy as hell, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I got that in my head, and I'm jogging around the park. And man, am I in the zone. And I realize as I'm doing this, the reason I'm having such a visceral kind of out-of-body experience with this particular track is because these earbuds are just isolating this music in a way that is just intense as hell.
It's like a direct line to your brain is what that is.
Yeah, kind of. So you want that kind of experience? You know you do. Go grab a pair of earbuds with our friends over at tweakedaudio.com. Simply use the code STREAM at checkout for 33% off. That's your next set of audio earbuds at tweakedaudio.com.
Chairman J. Parnell Thomas of New Jersey opens an inquiry into possible communist penetration of the Hollywood film industry.
Hey, it's Celebrity Poop, brought to you by...
Hi, I'm Sean, and I've quit my corporate job to become a full-time game and graphic designer. To kick it off, I'll be doing 2 shirt designs per day, starting at 1 o'clock Mountain Time, the only time zone that matters, until September 10th. All purchases will go towards helping an up-and-coming game designer develop his first iPhone app. You can find the store to buy some cool swag at tinyurl.com/gamechild-designathon.
Designathon. It looks like designation.
It does. tinyurl.com/gamechild-designathon.
Yep, a little hyphen there.
Yes.
So
I'll put that in the tadpole.
Here's an honest question for you.
Yes, ask away. Yes.
If you see, everybody tells me over the weekend, everyone's asking where you are. Everybody wants you to come to Dragon Con. Is that true? Like, is there yes. really? Okay.
People are coming up to the table. Where's Scott? We got to get Scott Johnson to this. Oh, why isn't Scott Johnson here? Scott Johnson should be here.
So that comes
totally.
Up. All right.
Yes. We are going to do, I mean, you come out there. We're going to do a live film sack.
Yeah.
And we're going to do a live TMS. And we are going to pack a room because there are people, so many people demanding.
All right.
That we do that sort of thing.
Maybe
there.
I need to finally go.
You need to finally go.
You know how I love the crowds and I'm such a party animal. I'm such a partier. Just love partying, man. Just love.
Bring Kim.
bring Kim to kind of mellow you out.
Oh, she would totally go. She would love it.
Tina's going to go too, so Tina and Kim can hang out when we're doing our silly business.
Here's the funny bit. Kim would go to everything I ever did anywhere at any one of these cons because she, on the other hand, loves this stuff.
Yeah, she totally does. I mean, I can tell just in the Nerdtacular thing that she was always everywhere and always had just a big smile on her face.
Yeah, she loves it. And she loves, like, she takes my kids to concerts every other week. Like, not because she's the one having to be the chaperone and it sucks for her to do that. No, she goes because she wants to be down in the mosh pit and a freak. Like,
right.
She loves this stuff. And I'm like Mr. Curmudgeon, like, there's too many people in this room. Freaking, I gotta... Ugh, this is too much. Meh. Like I gotta get better at that. But if you tell me there's genuine Scott Johnson interest.
There is absolute genuine Scott Johnson.
And it's not just
Johnson
a couple interest. Of my friends like you and Tom going, hey, you really
no,
here.
No. Right. Oh, no. There's lots of people who demand you come down. And by the way, I didn't sell a ton of Free Play and Smooth Federation stuff, but I think I feel confident that I did enough that I feel good about coming to BlizzCon, so I'm gonna go for it.
Oh, sweet!
Yes.
All right. We'll figure out some.
We'll talk offline.
Yeah, we'll figure out some other ways to help that out. But that would be awesome. I am going to that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, people need to go to
crowds. Be damned! I'm going.
I'll have a link tomorrow to where you can go and actually buy a copy. If you missed out on the Kickstarter, where you can buy a copy of Free Play and we still have a few signed copies left.
Yeah.
T-shirts, prints, and Brian Dunaway's awesome postcard collection. So
nice.
Sorry, I didn't mean to. This certainly wasn't intended to be a hijack the show.
No. It's all good. All we have is a dead British TV reporter and an animator who's retiring. So there's not much going on in celebrity poop.
I'll make an announcement tomorrow with a link to buy all that stuff.
That's fantastic. TV figure David Frost, who coaxed an apology out of Nixon, as shown in Frost Nixon, which is a fantastic movie.
Yes, not Frost v. Nixon.
Yeah, not Frost v. Nixon. Frost versus Nixon.
Frost versus Nixon.
Round one, fight! He died at the age of 74. Sir David Frost, the veteran broadcaster, famously drew a grudging post-Watergate apology out of former President Richard M. Nixon. Died August 31st aboard a cruise ship sailing from England to the Mediterranean. He was 74 years old. His death from an apparent heart attack was confirmed in a statement by his family, released to the BBC. The BBC. Known for his laid-back but probing style of interviewing. Sorry, I got to finish that sentence. That sounds real
Please
bad.
Do, yes. Hurry.
Mr. Frost gained access to an astonishing array of world figures during a five-decade career. His subjects include 7 U.S. presidents, 8 British prime ministers, and his first A-list includes Prince Charles, Nelson Mandela, Billy Graham, Muhammad Ali, Orson Welles, Truman Capote, or is that a kid I used to say, Truman Capote, the Beatles, Henry Kissinger, and Vladimir Putin.
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 Vladimir Putin.
Putin. Wait.
Of course, as we know.
Vladimir Putin.
There you go, Putin. We haven't, I need to catch up on the 30
Eagle.
Yeah, we're
way behind on our 30 Eagle.
Big fan of Frost, David Frost. I said Frost Nixon. So he was also the dudes at, my brain won't work here, the Monty Python guys. Mm-hmm. I want to say in a documentary I just saw, one of their first writing jobs was on the staff of David Frost's talk show way back in the 70s.
Really?
Yeah, that's where they first cut their teeth, and he hired Graham Chapman and what's his name? Yeah, crazy, right?
That is crazy. Yeah. I had no idea.
Cool connection there.
You'd think that they'd be writing comedy.
Well, they were. They were doing skits. Like, they were writing skits interstitial kind of, like Tracy Ullman's Simpsons kind of level stuff.
Oh, gotcha. Stuff that went in between.
Yeah. I think
so
that's
was it
right.
the American guy that...
No.
Okay. Not, director dude.
Not him. It was him and Cleese. John Cleese and Graham Chapman, yeah.
Oh, that's totally cool.
Yeah. I want to say maybe that... I'm remembering all this wrong, but I want to say Michael Palin and Terry Jones may have already been working there, and that's where they met.
Yeah, Terry Gilliam is who I was trying to remember.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's awesome. That is really awesome.
I don't remember how Gilliam came into that whole thing, but that's a very interesting. There's some doc on Netflix that's really good about it all. Mm-hmm. Animator, I never say his first name right. Is it Hayao?
Hayao. Yeah, let's say Hayao.
Hayao. Hayao.
Hey-o,
Miyazaki. Miyazaki's all I've ever called him by, so take that.
Yes.
He's the one that does great animation, like the black goo that throws up furniture.
Right. Spirited Away. That's there the was one. There was some Spirited Away cosplay and...
was it a big black Howl's
Moving Castle.
Was it barfing up furniture when you saw it? Or no? What a weird movie.
More rice. Megan, one of the people I had dinner with, was dressed on her second day as the character from his first Studio Ghibli film. And I can't remember the name of it.
I don't remember either.
Yeah. Not Howl's Moving Castle.
Seen that one.
Keiko's Delivery Service, or what was that?
Keiko's Delivery Service. That's not it.
Isn't there something like that?
Kiki's
Delivery Service.
Oh, Keiko.
Kiki.
Miles O'Brien sent his wife to deliver. That's fantastic.
Kiki's. Come on, I wasn't that far.
That's not too far. My favorite thing, I think, is that fish one he did. The recent one. Crap.
Yeah, I know the one you're talking about.
That was good, though. Also, the Howl's Moving Castle is pretty good. And his work in video games is really good. Like, if you play one of those...
Ponyo.
Professor... Yeah, Ponyo, that was it. Professor Layton games. Those are all Studio Ghibli joints.
Oh, I love the look of those.
It's really cool. It's Japanese style, but it's not... There's something special about it. It's elevated above what is normal.
Yeah,
anyway.
A very simple, clean look. You know, just a clean look.
Yeah,
a lot less,
sort of tentacle hentai kind of work coming out of
just a lot less
coming out of Miyazaki.
Not completely gone, but a lot less.
Ponyo has that one scene, but the rest of the movies,
give it that R rating.
Kujo Hoshino, president of Tokyo-based Studio Ghibli, announced Miyazaki's intention to retire on Sunday, but declined to take questions, deferring to a news conference next week in the Japanese capital of Tokyo. He wants to say goodbye to all of you, he said. Miyazaki was not in Venice for the international premiere of his movie. His Italian distributor said he stayed in Japan for the domestic release. He's 72, one of animation's most admired and successful directors. He won an Oscar for Spirited Away in 2003, what has the barfing up furniture guy, and Golden Lion for a lifetime achievement in 2005. And he's a really talented dude, and I'm trying to think who it was to Pixar. I guess it was John Lasseter said he's his greatest inspiration.
Yes,
take that for what it's worth. Hey, whatever, you're 72, one of the most important animators ever. Go ahead and retire. It's fine. I think you've earned it. You've earned it.
take some time. Enjoy yourself.
When we come back from our musical break, we're going to hopefully talk to Eric, although I haven't confirmed that. But I know we're going to be talking to Mr. Steven Schleicher. Okay. Yep. Schleicher's ready. We're going to do him first. So okay. Steven Schleicher at the top of the hour. And right after that, Mr. Eric Van Skyhawk with an app slappy review for the week. But before all of that, a song.
Yes, so Jody emailed in and said, "Hi, Brian, my name is Jody, and my husband, Andrew, is a big fan of the show. September 2nd marks 10 years since we officially became a couple, 4 years of wedded bliss, and 3-year-old later, he is absolutely still my best friend. If you could play Yuna's cover of Incubus's Stellar, it would mean a lot to both of us. Thanks so much for your consideration, Jody." Now, I did not find Yuna covering Incubus's Stellar. Actually, I found a cover of Incubus's I Miss You. However, that's a Billboard dealie, and unfortunately it's got audio clips talking all the way through there. It's one of these Billboard cover deals, and unfortunately it doesn't work.
Kind of stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's a real bummer. Yeah. However, let's play another cover of Yuna because I think she's just got an amazing voice. She also did a cover of Come As You Are by Nirvana. This was released as a single in 2011 and, sounds great. Mm. You should please to enjoy. I kind of ended a little abruptly. You probably weren't ready for that.
No. I just had water in my face like an idiot. I should have this stuff timed out better. Sounds good. Here it is, everybody. Imagine, won't you?
Imagine.
This song as we play it. When we come back, we're going to talk about a whole bunch more stuff and have some fine guests on. So stay tuned, won't you?
As you were, as I want you to be.
When you're the new kid, you need a friend catcher. A friend catcher is something good to eat that all kids like Post Sugar Crisp. Post Sugar Crisp cereal is a favorite because it tastes like sugar and honey. It's whole wheat, too. Mothers like that. Kids just can't get enough of that Sugar Crisp. What a friend catcher.
Oh, cereals make breakfast a little bit better.
This is the Animal Crossing that busted my perfect cherry.
The Morning Stream. Better than a straw tart blue blueberry pop tart. Pop torch. It's going to take me a couple to get that one. Hang on. Better than a straw tart. This is recording, right? Let me check. Better than a straw tart. Better than a straw tart blueberry pop torch.
And we're back, everybody. Welcome back. That was a lovely tune, Brian.
Lovely. It mellowed me out, man.
Lovely.
I'm all mellow.
Busted your perfect cherry.
Busted my perfect Animal Crossing cherry. I played some of that Spelunky.
Mm. Oh, yeah. That's what'd you think of that there,
great
business?
Great stuff. Yeah. Great game.
Addicting as hell. I'm pissed at it because what I can't understand is you get to level 1-4, right? Mm-hmm. And then you're into the jungle zone. And if you die in there, you meet a guy in the hallway who says, hey, give me one of your bombs. I'm trying to make a shortcut for you.
Mm-hmm.
You give him that. But then when you go to start again, there's no shortcut yet. It still says dude at the end of the hall is working on a shortcut. So I don't know when I get the shortcut to the new stuff I unlock.
I have not gotten there, but that sounds that's hilarious.
Because I'm in the jungle area a couple of times now. But man, that game is one of those games where it's like, okay, I've saved the chick. And that gave me a bunch of extra money. And I can see some golden gems right up over there. It won't hurt for me to go do that real quick before I get back to the door. I'll just go take care of that. And then you get shot with an arrow from one of those stupid arrowhead things and you're dead. And you're like, that's it. I was on 1-4. I got to go back. It randomizes. You're off again. And then you don't care because it's fun. So that game's great. I love a good roguelike anyway. And that game's a really creative use of that.
For sure.
Difficult as hell.
Mm-hmm.
Rewarding in its own way. I don't know. That's a weird genre. I like it though.
It's cool.
Like it a lot.
It's very cool. Love it.
Looking forward to Rogue Legacy on the Vita later this year. That'll be great.
Yep.
Okay. Well, I think we call Schleicher now.
All right. If we have to.
I know.
If we must.
I know. Let's see. Steven Schleicher. Hold on. Major. Why isn't he coming up? Steve, there he is. Sorry, I get a little frustrated there with the ye olde typing. Steven Schleicher, are you there?
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Yay. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Planet Man.
The Planet Man.
It's good to have you back on the show. We didn't have you last week, did we? Or did we?
Last week I was here.
No, it was the week before that. That's right.
Yeah, things are all screwed up when school starts back.
I always feel bad when Steven's not here. Looks like you guys had fun, though, at some weird barbecue thing. Your kids, man.
That was just at the house.
If we have a tadpole, some sort of contest for cutest children, you would have a real hard time beating Steven's kids. They're the cutest little kids. They're adorable. Maybe the Spags would have a chance with Mateo, but it'd be a good fight. Be fun
I
to watch.
My wife for all of that.
Yeah. I was going to say, it's mine too. If my kids have any attractiveness to them, it's got nothing to do with me.
Hey, Brian.
Yes.
Runum versus Mangria. I've been drinking both.
Oh, really? Okay.
Runum has a little bit more of a sweeter taste than Mangria. Okay.
Mm.
It's got a kind of a honey taste to it.
Well, it's because, I mean, Corolla and peas Mangria. In every bottle.
Because there's a little bit of Justin Robert Young in every bottle.
I went through about a bottle of that the other night when we were doing a recording Critical Hits.
Yeah.
Oh,
good
yeah,
Lord.
Yeah, boy.
Good Lord.
Yeah, boy. Yeah. Thursday was rough.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
I imagine so. But, hey, what better way to make a podcast, though?
Oh, boy. I tell you what.
Drink your way to...
People can hear all that fun in November.
Oh, really? Wow. All right. You work way out on those, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Because our schedules are so screwed up. Over the summer, we said, you know what? Let's bank as many episodes as we can.
let that be a reminder that if you missed the Nerdtacular kind of breakout session where you and Spag and others talked about... I think Terpster was there. You guys talked about the business of podcasting and kind of how to start and stuff. It's a great place to go because Steven's a freak. Like... You're so efficient with this stuff and consistent. Like that's the one thing you can always count on. The stuff just gets out. It's always there.
Right.
And how, you know, all of his secret sauce, some of that was on display in that in that little session. So you can find it online. In fact, I think it was on this show. We put it on the feed. So go back and dig through there and find it.
Yep.
Steven Schleicher, major spoilers. Always good stuff to talk about. Let's jump right into, I mean, right as everybody was about to get sick of talking about Ben Affleck as Batman, no one seemed to notice that, well, I think a lot of nerds noticed, James Spader has been cast as Ultron in an Avengers 2 film. Do you want to give just a cursory background on Ultron? What the hell is that?
So Ultron is a robot that was developed by Hank Pym, who's a scientist in the Marvel Universe. And depending on which version of it that you're looking at, he was the robots were set to guard up prisons in the Phantom Zone. Not the Phantom Zone, but whatever the prison zone is.
Right. What is the prison zone? The negative zone.
Negative zone, right. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, it got its own consciousness and decided
developed its own AI. Yep.
Yeah, and goes crazy. Now, if people remember Iron Man, the movie, they'll notice that the helmet of Iron Man in the movie looks an awful lot like Ultron's face in the comic books. And we know that Hank Pym is not appearing in the Avengers 2, Revenge of Ultron or whatever it's called.
We do know that?
No, he's not. Yeah, we know that for sure, that he's not going to be in there. That's what they've said. Joss Whedon went on record and said, no Hank Pym, no Ant-Man in this. And so that only leads us to one conclusion, of course, that the Jarvis AI will turn into Ultron in the movies.
Oh,
maybe I've said too much. Well, that's the biggest speculation. I mean, that's the closest
thing. Oh, yeah, I wouldn't call it a spoiler because we don't know. But
right.
Yeah,
and, of course, they've hired James Spader to do the voice and do some mocap.
So,
but that's the thing that's really weird is that hardly anybody said anything about James Spader, Spader-Man.
Spader-Man. That's awesome. I want to see a Spider-Man movie, to be honest.
Amazing Spider-Man.
So, okay, let me understand this. He's the voice. Okay, but why not Jarvis be the voice?
If it's going to develop its own AI, it's got to have its own voice and its own
It's going to lose its accent. Here's the problem, though. Lately, Spader, to me, has been goofy. Like on purpose. Like he was on The Office and was really good on there.
Peter California or whatever his name was.
His last name of California.
Something California.
He was in that Boston Legal thing for a long time, and that was kind of a goofy side of him.
Right.
You know, and I remember certain things like that weird crash movie where if you get in a car crash it made you horny or something. Do you remember that deal?
Oh yeah.
I didn't realize that was him. Crash. I thought that was Bill Pullman or Bill
Paxton.
Paxton or something. Nope. No, it was Bill Pullman.
Nope.
Wasn't it?
Nope.
It was Spader.
You're thinking of... I know what you're thinking of. It's a different movie.
Okay.
But it was similar to that.
Lost Highway or something like that, right?
Some other weird thing. Yeah. But this was one of those Jim Jarmusch movies or whatever it was. And it was weird. And I put a comic up about it where it's Iron Man and Captain America hanging around their apartment reading the paper about the news about Ultron. And people want to maybe check it out. It's at myextralife.com if you're interested. But anyway, point is, what's the point? I don't remember the point. Oh, the point is, it seems like it's interesting casting. People are really positive on it.
Oh, yeah. Joss Whedon is just all over it. He says he's just going to love Spader's approach to Ultron because the character is so pissed off and angry at everyone.
All right. So you're cool with it. How do you feel about it? You're my voice of reason in the world of comics.
I don't care.
You don't care?
I'm not going to care. Who's going to care?
Who's going to care? Nobody cares. Excellent.
No, it'll be good. I mean, just like Ben Affleck. Let's see what happens.
Yeah,
it's going to rock or it's going to be, you know, stinky.
Yeah.
But James I think Spader Joss Whedon has a great voice. And
Yeah. And Joss Whedon has a good grasp of what's going to work and what doesn't work.
Yeah.
So I say go for it.
All right. It's Avengers 2, everyone. Coming to theater soon.
They're not going
to
care. They don't care. What? They're going to care.
There you go. Nobody cares. Bradley Cooper. Heartthrob, Bradley Cooper, aliases, Bradley Cooper, confirmed as Rocket Raccoon. What's that? This has been rumored for a while. Now I guess it's official. Is that good?
Yeah, there were some talks a couple of weeks ago saying that it looked like it was for sure that Bradley Cooper would do the voice of Rocket Raccoon in the Guardians of the Galaxy movie. And of course, they came out just the other day and said it's official. That he will be doing the voice.
All right. I'm down with
that. I don't know if he's going to be... I don't think he's going to be doing any mocap.
No.
We've seen pictures of a real raccoon on set during the filming of that and some other things. So we'll see what happens next.
It's meant to be goofy, right? I mean, they're not going to go too straight with this. Or am I wrong?
I think Guardians of the Galaxy is pretty straightforward. I mean, they don't play it for, hey, look, a giant talking tree. Oh, look, a talking raccoon.
Yeah.
How funny is that? No, yeah. they play it straight as here's an alien race that just so happens to look like a tree or a raccoon. And Mm-hmm. Let's put it all together. Now, getting audiences to buy into that without giggling their heads off, that's going to be a different thing.
Yeah, that's right. True.
Well, they just have to make sure that, you know, Rocket Raccoon doesn't look too cutesy or too goofy or whatever.
Right,
you know,
right.
It has to look legit, right?
Yeah.
So I like Bradley Cooper. I just saw him last night on the plane, decided not to work, so I decided to watch Hangover 3.
Oh, okay. How was that?
Actually, better than Hangover 2.
Yeah, I've heard that. I hear just barely better, though.
You know what? I think Zach Galifianakis is, even though he was everywhere for a while and maybe still is, he is an amazing, has amazing comic timing and delivery.
Oh, yeah. His stand-up's still really good if you ever catch it.
Yeah.
There's a whole concert hour-long special thing on Netflix where he's at a piano basically the whole time.
Really?
Yeah, it is a weird act, but it's, you can kind of see a little bit of genius in there. Check this out. Lord of the Rings continues the current Hollywood obsession with bows. Not Lord of the Rings, the Hobbit. Every time I see a new image from this thing, everyone's got bows. That's the hot new business, isn't it? It's all Hunger Games all the time now. In Hobbit Land and everywhere else.
Yeah, I think a little bit of Hunger Games, Hawkeye, mm-hmm. all that stuff. And the fact that elves generally are running around with bows.
That's true. So what do you think about these new... They're promotional images. They look like they're from a magazine or something, right?
Yeah. I forget where they're from. I think it's Empire Online or somewhere had them. Or the OneRing.net had these images. They've got to be from different places.
Who's the redhead elf that we're supposed to be getting all into here? Who is she?
Isn't that Elwynn?
Is it supposed to be...
Oh.
I don't know.
What's her face? Aerosmith's
daughter?
Lost. Oh, Liv Tyler. Okay, I'm sorry.
That's what I think it is, right?
Oh, is it supposed to be her? I didn't know that.
I don't know either.
She looks just like... she's just a younger version of Galadriel. What's her name? Like, she looks so much like her that I...
Oh, yeah.
Every time I see that image, I'm like, oh, she's getting into it now. She's real elf. And I'm like, well, no, hold on. She's probably still back at the tree just floating around doing nothing. Right.
Yeah.
I have to say, it's funny because I feel like the Hobbit is in a... It's weird, right?
Evangeline Lilly, that's who that is.
Oh, is that
Evangeline
who that is?
Lilly from Lost, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's her?
Kate, yeah.
Oh, Kate's fine. She looks good.
Kate's great, yeah.
All
She's
right.
already got kind of an elfin look to her.
Big time. That's a good casting. Okay, I'm down with that. I like that. Okay, well, I feel like I've just been... Something was revealed here that I should have known. Should have already known this. But here's what I was going to say. Don't you feel like the Lord of the Rings thing, it was like year after year, the most anticipated, most exciting moment you were looking forward to. Nothing else mattered. It was like 2001, 2002, 3 and 4. No, it was 2, 3 and 4. Those are whatever it was. But they were like the biggest deals. And I feel like The Hobbit is just not on people's radar anymore. It's on my radar.
Sure.
But I don't feel like the nerd movie going public is all that into it. Am I wrong?
Well, I mean, there could be a couple of reasons for that. The first is we kind of know how the story ends already, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the ring goes in the volcano, spoiler.
Sure.
And then, of course, there's nothing really... I mean, there's some new things, but people have already seen the trick photography used to make really small hobbits. We've seen the prosthetics. We've seen the dreamy characters, and they've been all reworked back into the original story so that we have Legolas running around. Maybe just a little bit more of the same for some people.
Mm. Yeah, all right.
On the other hand, I'm like you. I cannot wait to see Desolation of Smaug.
I'm stoked.
When it arrives.
You get your Gumber Flipch Pumberblump coming out there. Going to be the...
Oh, boy.
Playing the role of the dragon there.
Voice of the dragon.
And apparently he was also a bunch of mocap on him for that, which is really...
Probably.
That's really interesting to me to see what they do with a dragon with mocap. Like, how do you... Is it just facial expressions? Is it just whatever?
I don't know. I would imagine a lot of facial expressions.
Yeah.
I think he could emote. Now, another thing, speaking of Cumberbatch,
this
is all rumor, but we may hear an announcement later this week or in the next 2 weeks about him joining the cast of Star Wars.
Hold on a minute. I'm into that. I'm down with that. He's great. What would he be, though? Bad guy?
Him in everything.
Well, this is the problem, right? You do run that risk of overexposure, but
right.
He looks like a good face, voice, and visage for Star Wars. I could see him doing something.
So.
You know?
Yeah.
Who, though? Yeah. That's the question.
Now that's the question. I mean, this is a later, you know, this is a episode, what are we up to, 7?
Yeah.
When this comes out, so we don't know exactly who he's been, would be playing. We do know he had to step away from Guillermo del Toro's movie that's being shot at the same time.
Yeah.
And so the speculation is that he's doing Star Wars.
Bad guy's probably going to be it. So
probably a bad guy.
Yeah, you could see him as like a young Dooku or something.
Yeah. Well, they're, except they're not doing prequel, though. This is all sequel.
Oh, right. It'll be later. Duh, yeah. Of course. Like, it's not pre-prequel.
This is like right, 50 years later or
Dooku
something.
Jr.
Yeah. Dooku Jr. Dooku Spawn Jr. of Dooku. His name is Khan. And major spoilers, let the word leak. And now everyone's mad at Steven. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to think about this. But I do want to know one last thing. Lobo. Okay. Lobo was a favorite of mine growing up. I thought Lobo was weird and out there, and I couldn't believe it was a comic book.
And crazy bastard.
DC has got a whole new look for him in the New 52. Is this a brand new run? What's going on with this?
This is in the New 52, although, you know, there's some controversy in regards to this because most people know Lobo either from the comic books when he came out in the 80s and the early 90s, or in the Superman animated series, and he's this big, broad-shouldered, crazy-haired guy.
Right.
And it's in like the Lindy new design,
yeah,
yeah, yeah. In this new design, he's like slimmed down emo boy.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about this.
And some people are saying, okay, look, we've already seen Lobo in the New 52 already in the old design. There's a story behind why he looks this way.
Yeah.
Now
seems like and a Doctor Who kind of thing or something.
Maybe. I mean, you know, Lobo does regenerate himself,
yeah,
and can regenerate himself from a single drop of blood. So maybe as he, you know, regenerates, he takes on a different look.
Yeah.
We don't know. It's a much different look than what people have seen before, and a lot of people are not liking it.
Yeah, I could see why this is a problem. But the fact that it's making some kind of comeback or is going to be a thing excites me. Because I used to love Lobo. I think it's great. It's this great attitude and thing you didn't find in other DC comics. But I do think they're missing out if they don't. See, it's not so much me the look. It's the attitude. I want the...
Right.
This guy's like the Hound of this universe, right?
Yeah. You know, Lobo has always been a dirty, grummy biker dude.
Yeah,
you know,
just all hairy and stuff.
Let's brawl and drink and carouse with women. And, uh-huh. And this guy looks more like, let's read poetry and sip some fine wine.
Yep. He looks more like, I don't know, one of Batman's wards got away again and is starting his own hero thing going on. So we'll see how it all turns out. Looking forward to whatever the hell it is. I'll give it, again, like the Affleck thing, let's wait and see. Let's see how this
definitely.
Goes. I'm not going to get too weird about it. Major Spoilers is one of my favorite places on the internet, everybody. It's the truth. Yeah. I love it there. Mm-hmm. You should go there as often as you can. And when you go there, you should read a bunch of the cool stuff and then support them. Steven, anything big on the horizon people should know about?
Oh, let's see. This week we've got PAX wrap-up coming up in just a few minutes, if it's not already on the site. A couple of other reviews. And, of course, more podcasts throughout the week.
Yeah! Major Spoilers on Twitter, majorspoilers.com. Steven, have a fantastic week.
Hey, you guys too. Talk to you later.
See you later. See ya. Bye.
Bye.
Now. He's at home today. You can tell he's chilling. Just chilling.
Just relaxing. Taking Labor Day off. It's nice of him to not sleep in, right? Yeah. No rest for the wicked.
Yeah, take a little, I don't know, take a little pill. I don't know what I'm saying. all right, where are we now? Oh, it's time to call Eric. Let's see if he's around. I forgot to check with him, make sure he's even around. So
we'll wake him up. Hello?
My guess is he thinks we're not doing a show because of the holiday.
Right.
Yeah, he's offline.
This will be, is he? Crap. Okay.
Poop.
Do you have a nap lately that you've been enjoying?
Yeah. Let me pull up my most recents to remind myself, which is something new. I really want to like the new Worms 3 game. Hmm. Oh, I know what we played that is awesome. Okay, here you go.
What's that? Yeah.
I downloaded this. What's bugging me about it is it's a Ellen DeGeneres app. Okay, so she's the one that like got this game made. She didn't make it, obviously, but she did whatever, and it's under her name. It's this heads-up game. Have you played this?
No.
You hear about this? Okay, here's what you do.
About this heads-up.
You take it, and you start the game, and you hold it up to your head like this. Okay? The chat room can see me holding it up to your
head. I'm watching you on the video as well.
Now, I don't have it actually running because there's this. I have it on my iPad, so this version's running. I still have to go through all the intro crap. Let's see. Actually, I'll just play this one. Superstar. Okay. Yeah, I know. So yeah, it's giving me all the tutorial garbage. All right. So I place this on my forehead. And now, do you see a word? It's going to take too long, isn't it?
Yeah, I know, because there's this the video delay.
Yeah.
Okay. There you go. I see a word.
Okay,
yes.
What does it say?
It says, don't look at it.
Or don't tell me. Try to describe it to me. With that,
gotcha.
And
well, you
I'll
just looked at it.
No,
you
I didn't see it. I didn't see it. I have no idea what it is.
All right. So it's a person.
Okay.
And you have to guess who you are, I'm guessing.
Yeah, all right, I have to
so,
guess who it is.
You just had a baby this year.
A baby.
And your sister is known for being super hot and in all the tabloids.
Oh,
you've actually been photographed naked
person.
This year.
Famous person.
Famous person. Well, yeah. No, you're going to guess like your.
Kate Middleton.
There you go.
Okay.
Well done.
Then you go like this. Okay, next one.
Well, there's going to be the delay again. Okay, hold on. We gotta. I'm going to stall until the next one.
It's time's running out.
I can't even. So it looks like I can't even. I can't even see. Tell what it says.
Oh, sorry. Wait, hold on.
Oh, okay. All right. You're a talk show host.
It's up. Time's up.
Oh.
Okay. Now, what's cool about that? It's two things. Normally, you're in a room and you don't have lag delay, but Ricky Lake was the one I didn't get.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I can watch the video of the webcam. This would normally be a live flesh human being, but it videoed you the entire time it did this. And
oh, really?
It did audio and stuff. So what you do is, it's just a fun game where you're like, all right,
funny.
Well, tell me what it is. And if I want to pass, I flip it forward and it senses that I did that and passes to the next one. If I go back over my head, it goes to the next question. And you have to hold it there while everyone in the room is trying to do this kind of charades thing without actually giving away the name. And then you count up your score and, you know, see who wins at the end of the thing. But the weird bit is the whole time the camera's recording everybody who's sitting in front of me. And that's half the fun because you go look at the video and everyone's freaking out like an idiot trying to explain what name is on your head, right?
Right.
Anyways.
Well, I love the fact that it videos them doing it, though.
Yeah, it's really fun. And you can submit those videos to What's Her Name and she'll maybe put it on our show or something. So
okay.
A part of me feels dirty that it's some talk show related app, but it's actually at the core, it's actually really, really good. And I want to say it's free.
That's really clever.
Yeah, it's free or it's a buck. I can't remember which. It's free or a buck. Anyway, I think it's on both Android and iOS. So go out there and check it out.
Cool.
Do you have one you've been using? Something?
I was just looking through my recent items. A lot of PVZ, PVZ2, which I've been enjoying. And people complain about the freemium and the pay to win. Thing. You know what? I don't mind. It's not really grinding levels because they're giving you challenges to earn stars. And so it's different enough. That's like, oh, now I have to do this without letting them cross the fifth barrier.
Right. They're giving you more to do, I've heard.
Yeah. I have no problem with that. Pocket I've been using.
I think my problem with that game isn't that there's a freemium model. It's that it's traditionally not what PopCap used to do.
Sure.
And so now to have it be that is just a little jarring.
Sure. Yeah, I can understand that.
Because it used to be straight up like, you're worth $5 and I will pay for you because you're a PopCap game and you're going to be awesome.
Right.
Now it's like, okay, I got it.
Yeah. There's an app called The Juice, which is good for us juicers that has a bunch of good recipes, but you can mark the fruits and vegetables that you have and it'll list some recommended juice combinations for you.
Oh, that just sounds great. Why didn't I think there would be an app? Of course there's an app.
Oh, yeah, there's a ton of apps. And this was the one that I thought looked the best and had... Maybe not the most content, but had the best interface.
Does it star? Tupac? Tupac Shakur, is he in it?
Oh, yes, exactly.
Okay, great. You knew where I was going, right?
I knew exactly where you're going.
All right, hold on. The Juice.
The Juice.
Let's see.
It's one that's got like looks like little slices of three different juices.
Fruit Ninja. Juice. Juice 'em high. Juice Master. Juice 'em up. Why don't I see The Juice? I'll find it later. I got Juice.
I'll shoot you a link.
Yeah, send me a link, will you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Juice King. Anyway, yeah.
Juice King.
I'll watch for that. I would really like that. That would be great.
Cool.
Great. There you go. There's your app reviews. Eric's asleep or something. Who knows what he's doing?
Oh.
I should have talked to him.
A little warning.
Kind of
a little heads up next time.
My bad. Let's do emails. Emails brought to you by...
Trove. It's a Canadian alternative rock band based out of the Oakville, Mississauga area. The band is Aaron Powell on vocals and guitar, Matt Chewy Chatram on guitar, Alexa Pavel on bass and keys, and Matt Bellissimo on drums and percussion. Isn't there anybody named Smith anymore? Go to trove.bandcamp.com.
All right, there you go. Sorry, someone was chatting with me and I changed pages, or I changed apps. I multitasked.
Tasked.
Richard Kubik. Richard Kubik wrote in and says, "Dear Stammer and Blush, I was listening to Thursday's podcast. I wanted to comment on your discussion of the difference between a man sending a nude picture of himself to a woman and vice versa. I think you missed the point. It's not a question of the aesthetics of the male or female body. Beauty is clearly in the eye of the beholder, or Justin Bieber could not have 500,000 screaming teenage female fans. He's got more than that. Mm-hmm. It is a question of implicitly threatening behavior. Put simply, few men worry about being raped in a parking ramp by a larger, stronger woman sent from an iPod. P.S. Oh, he wanted to send us some food, so I sent him our email. Or our addresses.
Mailing addresses.
Cool. I totally understand the point. And we got other emails kind of about this during the week about how... Here's the problem. This whole thing where we were addressing a listener who said that we shouldn't be slut-shaming Miley Cyrus because she's just simply because she's expressing her sexuality. This was not about me saying it's the same thing as Terpster with one ball out on stage. I know that's not the same thing. We're not saying it's the same thing. We are saying, all I'm saying is they're equally dumb. That's
all
what I'm saying.
We are saying. sorry, go ahead.
Give nudity on stage a chance.
Send me a text.
And I understand the difference between men and women in this whole thing. That is not, you know, we are not saying it's simply. We know there's more to it than that.
For sure. For sure.
I'm just, my point or the thing I was trying to get at with that whole conversation was they don't, you know, people, if your argument is, oh, she's just expressing this, well, then you can't, that's just too limited and closed of an argument. It's just too small. Mm-hmm. It's much more complicated than that. So actually your email supports what I really think, which is, it is far more complicated than just boiling it down to Miley Cyrus is a hooch or something. It's much more complicated than that. All right. Ken wrote in. I recently juiced a bunch of Naga peppers. These are, you get those on that quest line out in Ashara.
I was going to say the lizard people.
Yeah, lizard men. The lizard fish people or whatever.
Fish people, yeah.
Naga peppers to make my own hot sauce / pepper spray. But now, whenever I take a sip of my breakfast smoothie, I'm south of the border. I love the way this is read.
Totally.
I've taken it all apart and cleaned it twice. What gives? You're my favorite juicing-themed podcast. Way better than Juice Break Weekly. Your fellow juicer, Ken. All right. First of all, if you want to know how to write an email, Ken has shown the way.
Right,
it's a
right.
fantastic email.
Follow that format.
Short, funny, gets the point across. Yeah, so I did a bunch of reading about this. If you're going to do peppers, especially ones with high... What's the number? The high...
capsaicin or the... Oh, BT or not BTUs.
What do they call it?
It's like BT. It's the food equivalent of BTUs.
Yes, that. Joules or something, I forget now. Anyway, if you're going to do that, Scoville
units,
right? Yeah, Robert Scoville units, got it. If you're going to do that, just know, and at all the reading I said supported this, that stuff is strong enough. It will permanently flavor the walls of your juicer, of the bowl you put it in, of the thing, the actual metal thing. Like you will take a very long time to get those flavors out of there.
Wow,
that oil is pervasive. So don't do that. Avoid that.
Unless you're always going to be using your juicer for peppers from that point forward.
Right, exactly. Hey, all, I love the show, says Holly. Just wanted to jump in with my own comment about stem cell research since Scott was talking about it. As soon as I started reading this, I was like, oh, no. What did I say this time? Like, I'm in trouble again.
Right.
I personally find it interesting that literally everyone I have ever heard call it evil is also healthy as a horse. May not be the case for all of them, but I find the idea that they think they have the right because of their religion to dictate what research is done for people with debilitating diseases is sickening. I feel like saying, come on or come back and talk when you have a type 1 diabetes like my sister. Who could die in the middle of the night from a low sugar or from low blood sugar randomly at any time. Come back when you have two autoimmune diseases and arthritis that keeps you in constant pain since the age of 23 like me. Come back and talk to me when you're the parent on TV whose kid is dying from cancer or leukemia. Until you have an experience like that, shut your cake hole. So she's supporting my point of view, which is stem cell research is, despite the ethical questions, probably something we should try to start pursuing. Here's the funny bit. Most of that stuff, and I'm no expert, I am no doctor, but most of those cells that we can experiment with now have nothing to do with sacrificing any sort of potential life to get.
Right, exactly.
But everyone's got it in their head. You know, it's kind of like legal pot. Everyone's sure that it's the devil's joint.
As soon as you make it legal, it
right, something like that.
The world's going to hell.
Actually, I know already. Just as I said, that's a terrible comparison. So save your emails. I know you can't compare pot to stem cell research. Okay, I know. I I rebuke myself. Anyway, maybe not the most fair view, but I can't help but get riled up when I hear people lecturing who have never had to suffer from any kind of debilitating disease or disability. My view is simple. The needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few. There are millions of people dying each year who could have been saved by this research, so it needs to be done. Just my two cents. Holly. All right, Holly, taking the soapbox, letting it be known.
Mm-hmm.
Preach it.
So say we all.
Yeah. All right. I sent a reply to somebody about the difference between the Miley Cyrus thing and something else.
Oh, her twerking?
Yeah.
Oh, right, because the slut shaming, right.
Yeah. So somebody said, somebody wrote in, it was a very nice email, and this isn't me shaming them or kind of calling them out or anything, but they had basically just said, I have to disagree with you. If you think there's nothing different about Terpster and his ball hanging out and Miley Cyrus during her thing, then I'm crazy. And I said, of course there is a huge difference between these things. That wasn't my point at all. My point was it wasn't enough for that listener to simply say she just was expressing her sexuality and therefore saying anything negative was tantamount to slut shaming. It's an argument loaded with fallacies. Our point was it was really dumb, not an expression of anything interesting on this on any side of it. The listener should have accused us of, quote, crappy musical stage act shaming, unquote. We would have gladly admitted to that because that's all we were doing.
We were in saying, oh, it just wasn't. It just didn't turn me on at all. Right. It was just dumb.
It was dumb. It had nothing to all I'm saying is that there's the slut shaming argument is a dumb one because that's not what we were shaming or what we were having trouble with. Mm-hmm. Trouble with it was dumb. There you go. We were dumb shaming.
We're dumb shaming. Even better.
Brian, I'm glad that you were in the kind of shape that allowed for us to do a show today.
Oh, hell yes.
I never knew, you know, you don't know because you're
yeah, right. Well, it's, you know, it's a hit or miss with Dragon Con, especially when you've got Jury and Schwood there and they're pouring beverages for everybody. Yep. And Jaime is over there making mixed drinks.
Right.
Put cups in my hand and no, it was a great time.
Ali Spagnuolo, I recovered. She's sending her subliminal drinking messages.
Yes, she is with her power hour. Like, mm-hmm. Here, drink this.
She's a talented little booger, isn't she?
She is. We've got to get her for N14.
I think that'd be really good, wouldn't it?
In some form or another. It, you know, maybe not the power hour, but I still think the power hour would be great. You just got to do it on the last night so that people can get up the next day and be fine.
All right. Well, there you have it. Tomorrow, new show, new week, new everything, guys. We'll be back. We got more stuff to talk about. In the meantime, I want to thank our friend Scott Fletcher for his voice work, Alpha Geek Radio for the Shoutcast stream. Get our t-shirt. Support us that way. Wear a t-shirt. Why not? It's great. Go get it. It's at /loot.com. The TMS t-shirt. Get it today. We're also on the web at frogpants.com/TMS. Links to everything that is important can be found there. Email us, themorningstream@gmail.com. Find us on Twitter at Coverville, Scott Johnson, and Morningstream for the show. That's Morningstream without the, just Morningstream. Brian, that's it. Should we leave with a little song in our hearts?
Say let's leave with a song in our hearts and in our minds.
Okay.
Right. Hey, Scrub and Bubble, writes Mark in Florida. September 1st is the day that I ding level 25 in real life. As such, I'd like to request a cover of the ever-loved song, Where My Heart Will Take Me. Although if you choose to spare the listeners, a Space Oddity cover works as well. Although I is what I is, I still love the show, though. Mark in Florida in the Tadpole. So first off, happy birthday, Mark in Florida. You get a couple different names of that song, by the way. Faith of the Heart, Where My Heart Will Take Me. It's the theme song to Enterprise. You people know it by usually one of those three, those three terms. Now, Brian Hansen did a version of this song on his 2010 album Off the Road. People, we've played the Scott Fletcher version on the show before, and people know where they can get that one. So I wanted to play something a little bit different. Although his version is incredible and awesome and fantastic. And you'll hear that on Coverville 1000 coming up in a few weeks. But Brian Hansen has kind of a Cat Stevens-esque version of the song included it. It was originally done by Rod Stewart and then done for the Star Trek and re-opted for the Star Trek Enterprise TV show.
Okay.
Brian Hansen did a cover of it, 2010 album Off the Road. It's called Faith of the Heart, and here it is.
Beautiful. Here it is, guys. When we come back tomorrow, we'll have Jury back. We'll see how we'll get his perspective. on the debauchery known as Dragon Con 2013.
Oh my God, I can't wait. Can't wait to hear.
Yeah. By the way, if you're an AIE fan or you belong to the guild and you're interested in BlizzCon goings on, keep your ear to the ground for the next few days. We got some big announcement to make about what's happening at BlizzCon.
Ooh, really?
Just going to dangle that out in front of you a little bit so that the guy next to me can say,
oh, brother.
All right, here we go. It's Faith of the Heart, everyone. Thanks, everybody, for being here. What's this?
Oh, cereals make breakfast a little bit better.
Oh, I don't know why I can't fit that out.
It's a sugar bag.
All right, here we go. Thanks, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow. Oh, and Daryl will be back.
You can't lick near the tail because that's almost poking out.
That's right. He'll be here for Star Trek stuff, so I'm looking forward to that. All right, it's Faith of the Heart. We'll see you guys tomorrow.
Been a long road getting from there to here. It's been a long time. Now my time is finally near here. I can feel a change in the wind right now. Nothing's in my way. And they're not gonna hold me down no more. No, they're not gonna hold me down. Cause I've got faith of the heart. Going where my heart will take me, I've got a faith to believe. I can do anything, I've got strength of the soul. And no one's gonna bend or break me, I can reach any star. Oh, I've got faith. Faith of the heart. It's been a long night trying to find my way. Been through the darkness, but now I finally have my day. I will see my dreams come alive at last. I will touch the sky. And they're not gonna hold me down no more. No, they're not gonna hold me down. Cause I've got faith of the heart. Going where my heart will take me, I've got a faith to believe. I can do anything, I've got strength of the soul. No one's gonna bend or break me, I can reach any star. Oh, I've got faith. Faith of the heart. I've known a wind so cold, I've seen the darkest days. But now the winds I feel are only winds of change. I've been through the fire and I've been through the rain. Now I'll be fine. Cause I've got faith of the heart. I'm going where my heart will take me. I've got a faith to believe. I can do anything, I've got strength of the soul. No one's gonna bend or break me, I can reach any star. Oh, I've got faith. Yes, I've got faith. Faith of the heart. It's been a long road.
About this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
Feels nice.